ജയ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്ത ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശിശു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവാങ്ക ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശിശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നവശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശചാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷദേവേഷ നാദസ്ത്വന്നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യാം സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാ ഇതരത അർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര ഗതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാം നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിവദാ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമോ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദം അഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മേ യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കൊണിദാധൃതാനനെന്തോഹ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കനികാപി കാപി കാപി നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ శ్రీమదీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని ఇది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమతి గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా యాసాం హరిగదో గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్ర శంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాదాలయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేద వేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ భాసరాం పురదోమాం. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. శ్రీమద్భాగవతం ఏకాదశ స్కందం చాప్టర్ 9 అండ్ వర్స్ 24. దాట్స్ వేర్ వి స్టాప్ లాస్ట్ సండే. వర్స్ 24. ఏం గురుభ్యమేదేద్య శిక్షా ఏషామే శిక్షితామది స్వాత్మోపశిక్షితాం బుద్ధిం శృణుమి వదద ప్రభో. సో దత్తాత్రేయ మహర్షి సేస్ టు కింగ్ యదు that after talking about the 24 spiritual masters, he says, evam gurubhyamedidya eshame shikshidam madi, I have learned these lessons from these spiritual masters which he has spoken before. And then he says, I have learned something else from my own body, he says, from my own body. So in other words, the 25th spiritual master is his own body. That is the Dattatreya Maharshi's view. That's why from now on till the end you will see that is verse 25, 26, 27 and 28, 29 where he completely scrutinizes Ekadasha Skandam and gives a very summary of the whole realizations he had from the different spiritual masters. So there you can see the material body, no matter how hard we try to maintain this body, we are under the control of the body. This is the one thing we have to always remember. We are not the controller of this body, we are under the control of the body. For example, when your body demands food, we have to supply food. When the body needs rest, we have to provide rest for the body. When the body is sick, we have to provide the medicines for the body. So one way or the other, you can see body controls us and we don't control the body. Often we have the misunderstanding, but the desire is there to control the body, but unfortunately the body controls us all the time. So to understand it in this way, and to learn from that is what the Dattatreya Maharshi has done. He says here, Deho gurur mama virakti vivega hedur vibrasma sattva nidhanam sadadat udarkam tattvanyanena vimrshami yatha tathavi parakyamitya vasito vijaramya sangah. That Deho gurur mama virakti vivega hedur. This deham or this material body has given me two realizations, he says. What is they? Virakti and Vivegam. Two things I learned from this body. And they are very important things in spiritual life, especially Virakti and also the Vivegam also. So Virakti has come to me because by seeing this body that no matter what I do with it, at the end it is distress only. One day when it gets old or when it gets sick, it will show its true colors, isn't it? The body will show its true colors when it gets sick. Or at the old age, when you have to leave the body, no matter whatever adjustments you make with this body, whatever you provide, still the body will go its own way. Nobody has any control over it. So, deho gurur mama virakti. Because of that I learn from this body that I cannot get attached to this body. It's a fantastic realization for Dattatreya Maharshi. Vivega hedur. Also, I developed vivegam. I also learned to discriminate between the body and the soul. That why, that this, because of this body, because I have got this body, I can develop spiritual life. That is also there. That part is not forgotten. But, on the other hand, because I know this body will become the food for the dogs or for to turn into ashes, I cannot get attached to it. So we have to also, like the Dattatreya Maharshi has spoken, if we constantly think through these verses, it will also minimize or reduce our attachment to the body. Our attachment to the body is only because we have for many, many lifetimes identified with the body and thought that we are the body. This is called in Shastram Adhyasam. Adhyasam means to identify with something and get fixed up in that. So that Adhyasam has to go. In order to go get that thing out of our mind, these instructions from the Dattatreya Maharshi is highly helpful. And because of it, it's also the other thing to realize here is that material body, no matter how beautiful or ugly, whatever it is, the identification with the body will be very strong in all cases. We will never be able to give up that identification with the body. It's one of the most difficult thing for people to do, to give up the identification with the body. So therefore, because it is like that, the only solution to come out of this bodily concept of life is that somehow or the other we have to receive that mercy from Krishna. Krishna's mercy is necessary in coming out of this bodily concept of life. That's what it is said, that dehamoham. Dehamoham means identification with the material body. Hi me dehamoham, dehamoham tyaja pavana puradishayal prema hetom, gehe vitte kalatradishuja viradam tulpadam vismarandim. What happens is, when we identify with the body, yal prema hedo gehe vitte kalatradishu, not only that body we identify with, whatever is pleasing for the body, what is that? House, money, family, all these things becomes, we identify with it. It's not that we only identify with the body. Along with the body, we identify with everything else what is pleasing to the body. Gehe vitte kalatradishujar talpadam vismarandim. When we do that, what will happen? We'll forget Krishna. That is how we started forgetting Krishna. As soon as we identified with the body, we started loving the things which are dearer to the body and we started forgetting Krishna. Tulpadam vismarandi soyam vanne shunova paramiha varado sa ambradam chakshigarna tujjihvagre vikarshandi avashamadaida kopinatvalpadabjem. There he says, soyam vanne shunova. The fate of this body at the end is either it is going to be consumed by fire or it's going to be eaten by the foxes or the dogs, whatever it is. Whichever way you bury the body or cremate the body, whatever it is. Soyam manishunova paramiha varado sambradam chakshigarna tokjihua gravigarshandi. What happens? But this body, which has got all the material senses in that, they have, throughout my life, has done only one thing to me. What is that? It has continuously drawn me to different material sense enjoyment. Nothing else it has done to me. All our material senses, all our senses has done only one thing to us. What is that? Constantly, it has drawn us to sense gratification. isn't it? Tuk jikhwa grevi karshandi. Our sense of touch, our tongue, our eyes, our ears, all these things has done only one thing to us. They never did any favor to us. We are thinking, oh, it's my fine tongue, it's my fine teeth, it's my fine eyes, it's my fine nose. But actually, they are our own enemies living within this body to create trouble for us. Tuk jikhwa grevi karshandi. They are always taking you out from Krishna. None of the senses are telling us, go back to Krishna. Is any sense telling us that go and see Krishna, or go and surrender to Krishna, or pay your obeisances to Krishna, or hear about Krishna? Nobody does that. None of the senses any time in the history has done that. So that's why it said, Swayam vanyeshu nova paramiha varado sampradam chakshigarna tujjikhva grevikarshandi. Avashamadaida kopinatval padabjem. They will all drive you away from Krishna. Nobody will bring you closer to Krishna. This is the situation with the senses. So keeping those things in the mind, this is what was the Tatraya Maharshi's mind. This is what is going through his mind. That's why he is speaking this verse. Deho gurur mama virakti vivega hetum. I am learning and I am becoming, learning how to discriminate. He says, Vivegam. Vivegam means discrimination. Vibrasma satunidhanam sadadatu darkam. That this body is subject to death and it is subject to destruction. Because it is like that, I cannot identify with this body. This is realization. This is called self-realization. Everyone who goes through this process will eventually has to come to the platform of self-realization. There is no question about that. Krishna specifically brought the Tatraya Maharshi here to teach us that this is how my ancestors, Yadu Maharaj, followed the Tatraya Maharshi and got realized himself. This is how Krishna was saying to Uddhava. So Krishna doesn't create anything new. Krishna tells us from the history, past, how they have done it, how they did it. So, Durvaram Dehamoham. This Dehamoham or attachment to the body is very difficult to overcome. Yadi Buddha Naduna Darkini Sheshayogal Kritva Bhaktim Dradishta Tavaguru Padavangeru He Pangajaksham. That even if though it is like that, I am fully aware that this body is cause of so many illnesses, and I am subjected to so many miseries in this body, but still, even if you can't do anything about it, at least, kritva bhaktim dradishtam, that at least you give me devotion to a lotus feet. At least let me become a devotee of Krishna. The devotee praying to Krishna like this, kritva bhaktim dradishtam, tava guru padavangeru he pangajaksham. Pangajaksham means Krishna, one who has got the lotus eyes. So, let me have some devotion to your lotus feet, thereby I will not forget you. Nunam mana bhavande samadigadamam muktidam vipradeham shudre ha handamama shiva vishayarase pahimam marudesham. That even though nunam mana bhavande samadigadamam muktidam vipradeham, that somehow or the other, whatever may be the effect of my karma is, due to passing through different bodies and different spaces, eventually I have come to this human form. And in that human form also, you have given me a form which is very conducive for spiritual life. What is that? A body of a Brahmana. Vipradeham. Muktidam vipradeham. Nunam nana bhavande. Samadigadamamam muktidam vipradeham. But after getting that body, what have I done? I went after sense enjoyment. That is what happens. So, many people, they have the impression that human life is meant for enjoyment. Isn't it? The modern theory is, enjoy the body as much as you can. But Shastram doesn't agree with that. Shastram is saying, Nunam nana bhavande samadigadamamam muktidam vipradeham. That this body, if it is utilized properly,
Muktidam vipradeham. It can give you liberation once for all from this material existence. Kshudre, on the other hand, if I go after very, very silly sense enjoyment, kshudre ha handamama shiva vishayarase, if I get attracted by vishayarasam or sense enjoyment or sense gratification, please protect me from that. At least, even if you can't help me to get out of the bodily concept of life, provide me with some devotion to your lotus feet. Some devotion to your lotus feet. But having obtained this human form of body, if you would not give me an opportunity to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, kshudreha handamama kshiva vishayarase. On the other hand, if I get attracted to all kinds of sense gratification, pahimam rudesham, that please don't allow me to fall into that situation. The devotee recognizes that unless Krishna wants that to happen, it's not going to happen. No matter, sometimes in our struggle for spiritual life, sometimes we try to endeavor very hard to please Krishna, but somehow or the other gets distracted, pulled down by Maya in some way or the other. Some way or the other, Maya pulls us down in different directions. So it is then that we have to see this, that this body and its life is very limited, very temporary life, very limited life. And in that life, if that's also wasted in sense gratification, then what future is there? This is why the Tathraya Maharshi is saying to us to take this very seriously, these instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here he says here that the in the next two verses he's saying that this body can only give you only one thing. In two verses he explains that. This body can give you only one thing. What is that? Constant distress. Nothing else. Actually, it is very difficult to explain this to many people because they are thinking that there's such a happiness they have with this body. But constantly, this material body offers you only one thing. That's distress. Only when you go through that distress, you will know it, what it means. When the health is good, when everything is good, you think that life is wonderful, isn't it? But when the health goes, when we find ourselves totally dependent on others for our living in this world, and getting no happiness by living in this body, at that time we all recognize that this material body is a useless thing. That's what he's saying. Jayaatma japta pashupratya grihapta vargan pushnadiyal priyachirshaya vidanvan Swande sakritcham avirudhadana sadeha srishtva sibijam avasita divraksha dharma. That jayaatma japta pashupratya grihapta vargan, that by looking into the happiness of this body, what do? We concern about wife, children, sense enjoyment, and our servants, house, wealth, and so many other things. And we keep on trying to maintain all that as best as we can, isn't it? So that we feel that we can be happy in this world. This is mostly in the case of householders. Ahaha bahula himsam sanchidartai kudumbam pratidinam anupushnan strijito balalalim vishadihi grihasaktam yatanam maya bhakto kabiladani viditvam devahutyai nyagadim. Kavila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi that ahaha bahula himsam, for the sake of maintaining the family, many people get absorbed in so many different kinds of activities which is against the dharmam, which is adharmic. And lot of himsa also, violence they engage in. All for what? Sanchidarthai kudumbam, just to maintain the family. Pratidinam anupushnan strijito balalalim. In that way they carry on with their life, maintaining the family. Visharihi grihasaktam. And that attachment to family life goes to such an extent. Yadainam maya bhakta. That yadana, that experiences, because of that, he falls down from his spiritual life. Kapila Vasudev says this to Devahuti Devi. Same thing here also, that in that, that that material body, what it does is, when we engage it in different activities, material activities, what it does is, it creates new vasanas, because it engages in karma, various kinds of karma. And that karma creates new karma vasanas, and these new karma vasanas develop in such a way that it gives rise to new material bodies again. This is the difficulty. That it doesn't finish with this body. It won't leave us on its own. It's like it catches on to us in such a way that even after we look after this body whole life, how much time we spend maintaining this body throughout the life. And in return, what does the material body offers in return? A lot of distress. And at the end, crying, we leave this world. We leave this world. But does it finish there? It doesn't. In this life itself, the material body has engaged in so many sinful activities. The result is that it has created new karma vasanas, which stays in our subtle body when it goes to the new material body. So when he goes to the new material body, it starts functioning there with all these karma vasanas again. So that is what he is saying here. That swande sakracham avaruddhadanasa deha srishtvase bijam avasidati vrikshadharma. That vrikshadharma, that developing new bodies in that way, is that's what happens. Then the next verse. Out of the two verses, the second one. Jihvaigadom avum apakarshati karhidarshal shishnonyadastakudaram shravanam kutaschil ganonyadas chabaladrikkoya karma shaktir bahvasapatnyam ivagehabatim lunandi. Jihvaigado amum apakarshati karhidarshal. This verse is a little bit heavy on us from Vedavya's side. In Bhagavadam, at different places you will see that Vedavyasa Maharshi speaks in a very, critical way. Critical in the sense that he will mention certain things to make us feel that how misled we are, or how misguided we are. And this is one of those verses. Jihvaigado amum upakarshati karhitarshal. He talks about different senses, first of all. The first thing he took was jihva. Jihva means tongue, isn't it? The tongue is pulling in one direction. Tongue is pulling in one direction. Why do we say like that? Take for example, most of us are not satisfied with what we eat, isn't it? That's the main thing. That's what he is referring to. Jihvaigato upakarshati. Upakarshati means it pulls you. Normally to live in this world, what do you need? A few chapatis, a little sabji or some yogurt. That's enough, isn't it? No, that's not enough. We need gulab jamun, jalebi, barfi, sandesh, everything. And hours and hours goes into the kitchen and doing this. There's no time to chant the holy name. Why? I'm busy in the kitchen. I have to make this. So many different kinds of sweets. Not only that, I have to add a lot of sugar also into it, so that I can get sick later. So, is the tongue pulling us or not? If we are satisfied with simple food, some very light food is sufficient for, after all, to maintain this body. It is purely for gratifying the senses that we engage in all these kinds of different food, what we want to eat. And therefore that business, restaurant business also has come up very well all over the world, isn't it? Wherever you go, 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, all stars, restaurants. And people have found that this is the best way to satisfy the tongue. So the hotel industry has grown like this. Instead of being satisfied, that's why Vedavyasa is making fun of us. Jihvaigadom amum apakarshati karhidarshal. So tongue is pulling in one direction, saying, eat this, you find something else. We also put a stamp on it, let it be prasadam, so that we can escape from all other, nobody will say anything. No. That's not the thinking. This, such a people, in the name of prasadam, eating like anything is not a good thing. Jikhvayado amum abagarshadi karhi darshal. Karhi darshal. Karhi darshal means pulling. Pulling in one direction. What all? Shishno nyadastu udaram shravanam kutaschil. Shishnam, genitals, took the skin. Udaram, the stomach. Shravanam, the hearing, the ears. All of them, they all pull in different directions. Would they not? They all pull in different directions. And actually, when you are under their control, you'll find it very difficult to satisfy, which one to satisfy. That's why it's said like that, that while trying to satisfy each of the senses, we all fail in that process. We all fail in that process. So therefore, in Ekadasha Skandam, in these verses, Krishna had deliberately mentioned this to Uddhava. Uddhava, this is the situation with an ordinary person. He subdued himself by the body, by these different senses. By these different senses. Strictly speaking, in the process of bhakti process, there is a stage comes that one becomes simpler and simpler in his sense enjoyment. The desires to enjoy goes away, and at the same time, the needs becomes very limited. This is the advancement in bhakti. That such a devotional stage, you will see very rare among the devotees. It's very difficult to find that, being satisfied with the simple necessities of life. So therefore, while talking about this in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has given a clearer division between in bhakti also. What is that? Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kamkshati samasarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labhade param. Krishna says there that Brahma bhuta prasannatma, after executing sadhana bhakti for a long time, what will happen at the end is, if we execute sadhana bhakti, we get purified. When we get purified, eventually we come to the Brahma Bhuda platform. Brahma Bhuda platform, Aham Brahmasmi stage. By then, all these problems have been resolved. Which one? The problem regarding eating, sense enjoyment, all that has gone away. We have become quite pure inside. Material desires are more or less completely gone away from inside. Our senses are completely under control. And we have this realization that I am not this body. That realization is also very firm inside. But having come to that stage, na shojari na kam, no hankering or lamentation at that stage, then Krishna says, that is when the knowledge of self-realization develops inside. That you are already on the platform of realized state. So Krishna says, there is bhakti after that. After that self-realized state, there is bhakti. That is called pure bhakti, pure devotion. So, Brahma Bhuda Prasannatma na shojadi na kaunkshadi samasarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim libhade param. Once you have reached that stage, how is it tested? Samasarveshu bhudeshu. In all living entities, you will only see Krishna's presence, nothing else. In other words, that the external appearance of a person, these different kinds of emotions we exhibit towards other living entities, they are all gone from that person. That's why samasarveshu bhudeshu. There is only one thing in every living entity present there is Krishna's part and parcel. In that way, he will realize that. And that, what does that mean? At that point, Krishna says, mad bhaktim lebhade param, parabhakti, or pure devotion comes to that person. So, the realization or self-realization is such a thing, is like a sandwich in between parabhakti and sadhana bhakti. And right in the middle is this self-realized state. So that is what that has been indicated in that verse. So Krishna says here that if you look into Ekadasha Skandam earlier, in the third chapter also, Krishna spoke about this. That's where he says, bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. From bhakti comes bhakti. What kind of bhakti? He says here, smaranda smarayandascha mitho akhaugaharam harim ഭക്തിയാ സഞ്ജാതയാ ഭക്തിയ വിഭ്രത്യുത്പുളകാം തനും. ഭക്തിയാ സഞ്ജാതയാ ഭക്തിയ ദാറ്റ് ഭക്തി വിച്ച് ഹാസ് കം ഫ്രം ഭക്തി, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് പ്യുവർ ഭക്തി വിച്ച് ഹാസ് കം ഫ്രം സാധന ഭക്തി. ഭക്തിയാ സഞ്ജാതയാ ഭക്തിയ വിഭ്രത്യുത്പുളകാം തനും, ദാറ്റ് ഓട്ടോമാറ്റിക്കലി ഇറ്റ് ക്രിയേറ്റ്സ് ദി എക്സ്റ്റസി ഇൻ എ പേഴ്സൺ, എക്സ്റ്റസി ഇൻ എ പേഴ്സൺ. വിഭ്രത്യുത്പുളകാം തനും, that body gets into an ecstatic stage. Why? Bhaktiya sanjadaya bhaktiya. That bhakti has come from proper sadhana bhakti. That pure bhakti has come. So, therefore, by now, inside, he is already experiencing that I am soul, not this body. The identification with the body has virtually disappeared. And it is in this stage what is known as mukti or liberation. It is this stage what is called as liberation. Or in Bhagavatam, while talking about that, earlier in the second canto, I think, already Sukadeva Goswami has defined what is mukti means, liberation means. Mukti hit anyadharyubam surubena vivastiti. This is the definition. Mukti hit anyadharyubam surubena vivastiti. That anyadharyubam, that something with which I have identified falsely, I have given up that. I have rejected that and I am situated now in my proper identity, which is spirit soul. Swarupam. Swarupam is spirit soul. Mukti hit anyadharyubham swarupena vivastiti. Swarupena vivastiti is mukti. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying there. Then, മുക്തി ഹി തന്യഥാരൂപം സ്വരൂപേണ വ്യവസ്ഥിതി. സോ വൈ ഡിഡ് വി സേ ലൈക് ദിസ്? ബിക്കോസ് ദാറ്റ് മുക്തി ജനറലി, ഇഫ് യു സേ, യു നോ ദർ ഇസ് എ ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് ഫ്രീഡം മൂവ്മെന്റ്സ് ഓൾ ഓവർ ദ വേൾഡ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് ഫ്രീഡം മൂവ്മെന്റ്സ്, ദ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ഫ്രീഡം, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? സോ ദാറ്റ് ഫ്രീഡം ആൻഡ് ദിസ് ഫ്രീഡം, ദർ ഇസ് എ ഗൾഫ് ഓഫ് എ ഡിഫറൻസ്, ബിഗ് ഡിഫറൻസ് ബിറ്റ്വീൻ ദ ഫ്രീഡം മൂവ്മെന്റ് and this freedom what the sages are talking about. The freedom what they are, what in the modern world what we want is freedom for the senses, freedom for the mind, freedom for the senses, freedom for the mind, freedom for the body, isn't it? We want these things. That's what we call as freedom today, isn't it? So many countries have fought for independence to get this freedom. We want freedom, they say. They fight for it. Again, one against the other, and eventually they get it. So, freedom for the senses, freedom for the mind, freedom for the body. This is what they're talking about. But Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, this is not freedom. That's not freedom. For Srimad Bhagavatam, the freedom means freedom from the senses, freedom from the mind, freedom from the body. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam defines freedom. If you get freedom from the senses, you are liberated. If you get freedom from the mind and freedom from the body, that's what we call as liberation. The sages have called it like that. The sages have defined freedom in that way. In Upanishads you will find this is what is the definition of freedom by the sages. Why did they define like that? As I mentioned before, that we are under the control of these things, what? Senses, mind and the body, isn't it? I mentioned already, body dictates to us, isn't it? When to eat? When the body dictates to us to eat, we have to eat. When the body dictates us to sleep, we have to sleep. Similarly, when the body tells us to go somewhere, we go. Mind tells us to do so many things, we do it. We don't have any control over it. Even if you take, for example, one sense, say the eyes tells you that watch cricket on the television today. Immediately you put the cricket on, watch the television. Or a football match. Or something else, whatever it is. So, every moment, we are under the control of these three, senses, mind and the body. Is it not? All the time, we are under control of these three things, senses, mind and the body. Therefore, actually, strictly speaking, we have no freedom for anything. We have no freedom for anything. That is why it is said that real freedom from the point of view of the rishis or the sages is when you have complete freedom from the mind, freedom from the body, and freedom from the senses. Freedom from the senses. So, this verse also, jihvaigato amum apakarshadi karhitarshal shishnonyadas tugudaram shravanam kutaschil ghanonyadas chapaladri kocha karma shaktir bahwa sapatim iva gehavatim lunandi. Take for example different senses. In this verse, what it is talking about, then tongue is pulling in one direction. We have already seen that. Tongue is pulling in one direction. And also karhi darshan, our senses, other senses also, bhogendriyam, the genitals and all that, that's also demanding enjoyment, demanding happiness. The skin wants to enjoy, associate with something that will give pleasure to the skin. The skin wants to enjoy, the genitals wants to enjoy. And similarly, karhi darshal shishnam toka udaram, demanding food, different kinds, udaram, and filled up with that. Jidam sarvam jide rasem. Earlier in the Bhagavatam we have seen that if you are controlled and succeed in controlling the tongue, you have controlled everything to such an importance given to the tongue. So, shishnonyadastok udaram and then shravanam kutaschil. Shravanam kutaschil. The business of hearing also. Another important thing. Very difficult to control. Where do we have any control on any of these things? Think about it. As far as seeing is concerned, I'm seeing something now, I want to see something else in my mind goes through, the eyes are looking for that. Same thing with hearing. I heard something here and I want to see something else, I want to hear some gossip, I want to hear something else, somebody else. Like this, the control completely by the eyes and the ears, all the time. So, because it is like that, we get victimized by that. Sharanam kodaschil ghanonyadas chapaladrak. Chapaladrak. Chapaladrak means that vision which is going on all directions. Chapala means always moving. And similarly with the smell also. Kocha karma shaktir bahwa sapatim iva gehavatim lunanti. Now, this senses, how each one of them misguides us. It's not very difficult. Only thing you have to look through it a little bit more deeper. When when they have spoken about this, that I think I've spoken about this story before. A great musician, Tyagaraja, he had an amazing talent for music. Amazing talent for music from a very early age in life. Even when he was 4 or 5 years old, he had amazing talent for music. So his teacher sensed this great quality in him, and when he appeared in 1 or 2 sessions, the king came to know, King Sarfoji, he was a king from Maharashtra, he heard about him and wanted to invite Tyagaraja to the court to sing. He was only a little boy. His teacher took him to the court, and when he got to the court, the king asked him to sing some nice kirtanam. Tyagaraja sang the kirtanam so well that by impressed by the music, the king was, and the devotion in that song, the king took a necklace from his own neck and put it on the Tyagaraja's neck. After that, the music teacher, his teacher or guru, whomever you call it, he took him back to the village in a horse carriage. They were going back. So while going back, the teacher was in ecstasy that he could get a student like him who has even been honored by the king. That was going through his mind. And he told Tyagaraj, there was never a day like this in my life before. What I could not achieve in my life, you have managed to get this recognition from the king. At that time, Tyagaraj was in a different world. Tyagaraj was singing a song. Tyagaraj was singing, what is the purpose of all these things? I have gone there to sing a song to please this king. Is it better to go and sing in the assembly of this king, or is it better to sing in the assembly of Lord Ramachandra? This was what was going through that little boy's mind. Because he was thinking that music, when it is utilized for sense gratification, this is a very important point, because music, if it is not used for the sake of the soul, it simply becomes an art. It simply becomes an art. And that is not kirtanam anymore. So, the pleasure, what the soul has to receive, what the soul has to receive from kirtanam, is shared by the senses and the mind. And then it becomes a musical concert. And it becomes a musical concert, rather than kirtanam. When we are talking about kirtanam, this point has to be borne in mind very clearly, that the purpose of kirtanam is not a musical concert. It's not a musical concert. The person who is singing, glorifying Krishna or Ramachandra or the deity, while singing those songs, glorifying him, if it is not directed towards the deity and pleasing the deity, when he is pleased, we get pleased. Our soul gets pleasure from that. Our souls also get the pleasure. The blissful experience from that comes to us. That is music. That is kirtanam. Otherwise, it is not kirtanam. So, this Yagaraj felt so bad that the whole king and the whole assembly of the musicians, they were impressed by his music. They were impressed by his music. He is saying, what good is this to me? He says. King was interested in the music. They were interested in the music. But I have not come here to please all these people. Is this not my misfortune? This is why, and Tyagaraj was crying saying this. The teacher was thinking that he has done an excellent job. Nowadays you can see sometimes parents, they want to get their children, even if they have no musical talent, they want to make them musical and get some courses done and certificates and get somehow some recognition. But that kind of music is simply for vanity. It's nothing much more than that. But here, proper music, what Krishna is talking about is that music which is directly glorifying Krishna and Krishna's pleasure, with that song, when the song sung in that way, with that devotion, that will have impact on the soul. The soul gets a pleasure from that. Soul experiences that bliss. So, Tyagaraj was not at all happy about that, what has happened. And he told his teacher about this. Later on, Tyagaraj got more absorbed in the kirtanam process. In the kirtanam process. Because he found the sound has only one use in this world. That was his conclusion. The sound has only one use. What was that? To glorify Krishna. And because it was in his heart, so embedded in his mind, that he could not sing for any other purpose, for anyone else's pleasure. He couldn't sing. So when he got home, he got absorbed more in the kirtanam. And when this happened, his brother, Japyesha, got more concerned about him, thinking that Tyagaraj had no desire to study anything, he had no interest to work, he had no interest to earn some money, anything. Nothing like that was coming from Tyagaraj. So at that point, Japyesha called him one day and told him that it will be very difficult for us to maintain you for a long, long time like this. So he wouldn't say anything. Tyagaraj thought that if that is how Ramachandra is talking to me through him, then what can I do? This was his mood. So eventually, he wasn't so grown up that brother was finding it difficult how to deal with the situation. So, and the brother, elder brother, he was actually not too much absorbed in, he was struggling very hard to keep the family going. His wife and Tyagaraj also, and he had his children also as well. So, he in those days, there was not a lot of jobs like today. Some of these brahmanas, they took to either to astrology or to this duty of a priest, isn't it? Priestly duties. So, if you go and do this priestly duty, you will get some dakshina from somewhere. Or looking into horoscope and giving, making the chart for others, doing astrological work, they'll get some money. This is how he was struggling to maintain the family. And he found that Tyagaraja had no interest in any of these things. On the other hand, he was more absorbed in the kirtanam, 24 hours singing about Ramachandra. In his room, sat down and started glorifying Ramachandra. He didn't want anyone else to get involved. He was satisfied with that. So eventually, his brother went and started talking to other people, his friends, to see what should I do with Tyagaraji. He is showing no interest in anything except this kirtanam process. Kirtanam was his main engagement in spiritual life. But that too, only for the pleasure of Ramachandra, nobody else. He does not want to hear the king or anybody else. He avoided all other association. So one day, one of the friends of his brother told him, all these things are very temporary with your brother. Best thing to do is to, if you get him married, everything will be okay. So he gave this instruction to, advice to his brother. Brother discussed this with his wife and they both thought that that's the right thing to do. So they arranged a marriage for Tyagaraj, thinking that now that once somebody gets married, then what happens? That we don't have to discuss, do we? Then we have to earn money. So, unless there is money, family life is finished. It doesn't work. So, particularly those days, the family life was based on the husband. Nowadays there is two credit cards, so there's nothing to worry. Separate. If your credit card don't go through, I swipe mine and pay for the bill. So, it's different. So anyway, this what happened was, Tyagaraj's brother decided to get him married, thinking that by getting married, he'll become more responsible and start thinking about earning some money. So, he arranged the marriage. They used to get very young married in those days. She was only a little girl, 8 or 10 years old. They got married. Tyagaraj was probably 10, and she was even less than that, 6, 7 maybe, something like that. So they got married. After they got married, what happens now? Earlier, Tyagaraj alone did the kirtan. Now, two of them together started. The kirtan was between the husband and the wife. Together, kirtan started. So the brother thought, that I have got the wrong advice now. He says, these people told me, now I have to maintain this girl also who has come in the family. So he goes back to this person who gave him this advice that, look, on your advice I have done all these things, but this is how it has turned out now. Earlier Tyagaraj was there. Now how can I put that little girl to starvation? How to provide her food, isn't it? She couldn't understand anything what was going on. Eventually, they decided, he advised him, that will be there in the beginning of the marriage. Just wait and see, once you have a child, how things will change. So, a few years went on like that, and they got a child. Tyagaraja had a son born. When the son born, now what has happened? All three of them sat together and continued the kirtan. Tyagaraja was so absorbed in Ramachandra, that he could not stay a second away without singing about him. So many songs, what he has created, is still the very basis of Carnatic music. Every year in Thiruvayar, there is a famous music festival just to glorify Tyagaraja. It goes on. And many, many famous musicians come there free to sing some of the kirtanams written by Tyagaraja just to get his mercy. Because with his mercy, they felt that they can also progress in the spiritual life as well as in the musical field. So this is why he was so well known. Anyway, the important thing is, now the three of them were singing about Ramachandra. So eventually his brother got fed up that he has no intention to work,
So one day, out of anger, he took Ramachandra's deity and threw it into Kaveri River. He couldn't bear it anymore. Out of frustration, he did that. Tyagaraj got his heart sunk. He went down to Kaveri River and started glorifying Ramachandra there. The deity which went into the water came up back again to the seashore. This was the power of that devotion. That is our purity, showing the purity. In the modern world, we want to mix everything with business, isn't it? We are such a sthula buddhi. Sthula buddhi means gross in our thinking. If we can't make money, something out of it, any project in this world, everyone looks at it, is there any possibility of making some money out of it? Isn't it? That's how we look at it, everything. Wherever is about, that'll come later when we talk about the Rahugana's instructions from the Jadabharata. That we'll talk later. But na chejaya narvapana grihadva vina mahalpa narajo vishegam, that verse. So anyway, Tyagaraja had all these experiences in life. It was at that stage Tyagaraja became famous again because of this famous kirtanams, what he has written about Lord Ramachandra. And there he is asking that, is it better to get glorified by Ramachandra, or better to get Mamada Bandhanam Arastudiyo? That is it better to get the glorification from this public world outside? What do I need their glorification for? This was his approach. I don't need any recognition from this world. I need recognition from Ramachandra. This was Tyagaraja's mood. Never he wanted any recognition from this world. Because he considered music is a tool, or kirtanam is a tool for pleasing Ramachandra alone, nobody else. And this way he continued. And this same Tyagaraja at one point felt very happy when, in one instance, one sannyasi came from Benares, all the way walked to Trivaya, and he went and saw Tyagaraja. And Tyagaraja asked him why he had come. He said, I heard your kirtanams from different people, what you have written, the songs you have composed, I wanted to hear them from you. It was at that time that Tyagaraja wrote a very famous song glorifying Ramachandra, that you have propagated my name all over the world through your glories. He says to Ramachandra that you have propagated my fame all over the world through your glories. In other words, he was saying that I was not glorifying you, you are actually glorifying me because of these songs. In this way, he spoke, and he was very pleased when the sannyasi told this, that he wanted to hear from Tyagaraja about this. So, yeah, he says here that the Mamata Bandhana Narastudiyo, that he says, important thing to realize is that when we glorifying Krishna, if it is not directed for the pleasure of Krishna, on the other hand, if we get absorbed in the music, thinking that it is an art, you know, that busy with involved in the all kinds of musical talent, and if we start playing with the music or part of it, to enjoy that music part, then the whole spirit will be lost. Just like sometimes, while engaging in different ragas also, sometimes musicians take them, and it will agitate our mind, the way they use that music. And it will give different emotions in the mind. And in that way, if it turns out to be a musical concert, then the purpose of that music, that purpose of the music is simply becomes a sense enjoyment. Nothing more than that. So, here, why I was saying this was all about Shravanam. Even Shravanam process, it can easily go in that direction. While hearing or Shravanam happens in a person, if Shravanam is not being shared by the soul inside,
If it is all gets distributed in the senses and in the mind, then nothing will go back to the soul. It will get lost in that process. So therefore it's important. Jihvaigado amum apakarshadi karkitashal shishnonyadastu udaram shravanam kutaschil granonyadas chapaladrik kvacha karma shaktir bakhva sapatnim iva gehavatim lunandim gehavatim lunandi. He says here that the last item which is mentioned in that the sound which has come, if you remember, we have spoken about this before also. Nabi, Hrit, Kandham, Rasana. Nabi, Hrit, Kandham, Rasana. This is how the sound comes out, isn't it? Where does the sound begins from? Sound begins from Nabi. Nabi means the abdomen. From there it comes to Hrit, to the heart. Then to Kandham, to the throat. And then to the Rasana. It is the finest form while it is deep down in the Nabhi state. And it is the most gross form when it comes out through the tongue. Nabhi Hirtkanda Rasana. That's the four stages. And they have given it name in the Shastram as Pashyandi Madhyama Vaikari Para. Para Pashyandi Madhyama Vaikari. Four names for sound at different points in the body. This is all in the yoga system. They will discuss these things in detail. But just a basic understanding that when the sound is generated, in its most subtle form, it is in Nabhi. Little bit grosser, it comes to Hrit. Further grosser, it comes to Kandham. And the most gross form, when it comes through Rasana, through the tongue. So, Nabhi Hrit Kandha, Nabhi Hrit Kandha Rasana. Four stages. Pashyandi, para Pashyandi Madhyama Vaigiri. Four stages. So, when the sound is coming out like this, that the, as much as when it is coming out, if it gets shared up between the senses and the mind, the purity of the sound vibration for which originally it has originated from is lost in that process. If it is directed for Krishna, to direct it to please Krishna, it should go to Krishna. And Krishna should enjoy that, not us. Krishna should enjoy that. On the other hand, if we start enjoying the music and start taking the relishing that music part of it, then in that process we will forget Krishna. We'll forget Krishna. The music is for Krishna's enjoyment, Krishna's pleasure, nobody else. So, jikvaigato amum apakarshadi karkitarshal shishnonyadastagudaram shravanam kutaschil granonyadaschabaladrikvacham. Then what else? Karma shaktir vakhya savatnim iva gehavatim lunandim. This is the last thing. There is something in us which is called karma shakti. Karma shakti means our tendency to do things. Work, 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 isn't it? That nature, karma shakti, that's called karma shakti. The power to do karma. What we see today in the modern world also, in the name of what we call as industrial development and all that, is nothing but karma shakti. It manifests in this form, computer, TV, this, that and the other, all sorts of things. It's come because of our karma shakti. Now, this karma shakti is in everyone, is in everyone. And like the senses are pulling you out, which senses? The senses of knowledge. The senses of knowledge are the ones like the eyes, ears, nose, tongue and all that. These are the senses and all. Shabda, Spasha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham. These five things. They are the senses of knowledge. They are pulling you in one direction. Then what else? This karma shakti also pulls you in another direction. Which karma shakti? Karma shakti means the senses of action. Like the hands, the legs, all those things, vaka, pani, padam, all that things. They also pulls you in another direction. And this karma shakti is such a thing that if it is not satisfied, it will look for new avenues to get it satisfied. So in that process, what normally happens is, if you cannot find a place where you are not satisfied with the work, you will look for new fields where you can fulfill your desire for work, desire to do something. So, often you get trapped in that karma shakti. You will not be able to come out of it because it's pushing you so hard. So, kocha karma shaktir bhakhva sabatnim iva gehavatim linandi. That all the senses, that means five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. Imagine all 10 of them are pulling you in 10 different directions. What will happen? This is what Bhagavadam is asking. This is Bhagavadam's questions to us. What will happen to you if you allow your five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, if you allow them to pull you in all different directions? Sometimes it drives people very crazy, isn't it? Because sometimes you can see people, when they are not satisfied in their life, because there is no peace inside, total restlessness inside. And that restlessness comes out in the form of this karma shakti. I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to sort that out, sort this out. And this way running around all the time. Running around all the time. They will never be satisfied because this karma shakti is pushing him to do that. Not for a minute they can sit and think that what am I doing actually. And they will get involved in all sorts of things and they will find justification also for that. They have to, because it is not his fault inside. Inside, this karma shakti is pulling him. Bhagavadam is asking this question. Jukhvaigado amum apakarshadi karkitarshal shishno nyadastha gudaram shravanam kutaschil grano nyadas chabaladrikkoja karma shaktir bhakhvasabatnim iva gehavadim linandi. Gehavadim linandi. That he compares with one man who has married say five different wives he got them five different houses, all five of them to live. And there's only one man, he got married to these five women. And these five women, they are constantly fighting each other, saying to the man that you are my husband, you should spend the time with me. And if that happens, what will be his situation? That's what is that question is saying. That the fate of the living entity, Jiva, is like that. Fate of the living entity, Jiva, is like that. Vedavyas is saying that he is not talking like this to insult us. But sometimes, in Bhagavadam you will find people when they read Bhagavadam, they all have a very high opinion about themselves, isn't it? Oh, I am very controlled and I am very... Everyone has a high opinion about themselves. So in such instances, in order to wake us up from that misunderstanding, Vedavyasa Maharshi will create some jokes in this way. That's why this verses come here. That while talking like this, to make us understand that a husband's situation who has got five wives who is pulling him in five different directions, in the same way, this is the same fate of a jiva or living entity when he is trapped inside a material body with senses. That's the point he is making. That jiva should not think that he is independent. Jiva has no freedom. Jiva is controlled by the senses, controlled by the senses of knowledge and senses of action. And what freedom has he got? This is what he is asking here. So, jikhvayado mamum upakarshadi karkidarshal shishnu onyadastha gudaram shravanam kutaschil ghano onyadascha baladrikkoja karma shaktir bahwa asabatnim iva gehapatim lunandim. So, in those two verses which we talked about now, what has happened is that he has spoken about the miseries of material body, what problems material body creates, and how we live within this material body in this world, how we execute our life. These were the things spoken. That, therefore, he said that this material body is also a spiritual master. And because it is like that, when we get this material body, there is only one thing to do. There is only one thing to do. This is the point. And that is what is spoken in the next two verses. Srishtva apurani vividhani ajayatma shaktya vrikshan sarin sripa pashun kakadam shamalsyan taisaira dushtakhdaya purusham vidhaya brahmavalogadishanam udamabadevaha.
Very important verse in the Bhagavatam. It's so famous, this verse. Because in this verse, that a history of our creation is spoken. How we were created, human society. What is so special about that? The special is like this. That human body has come into existence after many, many experiments in this world. And even though we have all got a human body, even in this human body, we cannot still say that we have attained perfection in this body. Because we have to remember that we came through numerous different species, and that influence is still there in us. Only when we are able to come out of all those influences, what is there in us, and as we get closer and closer to Krishna, the qualities of Krishna will also start coming to us. Isn't it? Qualities of Krishna also will start coming to us. That's why he says here, Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayatma Shaktiyam Vrikshan Sarin Sripa Pashun Khagadam Shamalsyan. These are the different species what he is talking about. Taistai Adrushtakhdaya. After creating all that, he was not satisfied. Krishna was not satisfied. Then what happened? Purusham vidhaya brahma valoka dishanam udama padevaha. Then when he created the human body, he noticed one thing, that in that human body he has got some special facility given to him. What was that? One word, brahma valoka dishanam. That is the brahma valoka dishana is the word. What is that brahma valoka dishana? Let's understand that. The human body, when sometimes you can see this in human nature, it's not very neat to explain all these things. People have different consciousness, isn't it? Someone acts in one way, someone acts in another way. The man who has come to the human body from a lower spaces, you will see in the beginning, he's 99% animal. 99% animal. There's only 1% human nature in him. So therefore, his endeavor and desires and all will be in that direction. That because of strong influence on the animalistic side. In one temple, there was once a person who was a Siddha. Siddha means who has a lot of mystic powers in him. He had a lot of siddhis to see through people. So he used to sit in front of the temple, and different people were coming to the temple. Every time someone comes, he'll make a remark about him. When somebody came, he said, "Oh, here comes a dog," he says. Everybody used to treat him, he's a crazy person. You see, when we see a person, we see the gross body. The siddhas, or who have got the siddhis, they see the subtle body. This is the difference. So when the man came in, he said, "Oh, here comes a dog," he said. After a while, somebody else came. So he told him, "Oh, here comes a bear." So like this, everyone who was coming to the temple, he was saying that, and these people who had come, they were all dressed very well. First class dhoti and nice, lovely kurtas, gold buttons and nicely combed hair. And everything externally, appearances, they all looked very impressive for the society side. But from the Siddhar side, he was seeing them. They were either a dog or a cat or a monkey or whatever. He was addressing them like this. They never used to take him very seriously, thinking that he is a crazy person. That's what they thought about him. At last one boy came to the temple, who was about 8 or 9 years old. And he said, "Here comes a human being," he said, pointing out at him. "Here comes a human being." Because Siddha was seeing the subtle body of the person. And he could see, by looking at the subtle body, how far he has come to the
into the human platform. That's why you will see there, it's not very difficult to understand. Sometimes people it's not said to offend anyone. It's not, idea is not to offend anyone. Please don't misunderstand that way. Sometimes people come, they'll come and they will see what's going on here. Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed. No interest, walks away. Doesn't want to hear anything about it. There's no time, or they're talking some nonsense, what I got to do with it. That mood comes. As you progress a little bit more, you open the door, come in, see, inquiry a little bit. Thinking, what's going on? And this is when the percentage of that animalism goes away and humanism becomes stronger. Human mind becomes a little bit more mellow. It is then that the inquiry begins. The inquiry begins only at that stage. When there is no inquiry inside, because what is Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but inquiring after truth, isn't it? Truth is Krishna. And Bhagavatam is presenting to us the truth. Satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavatam begins with this, isn't it? Janma adhyasthayatonvaya idarascharte shabhitya swarad tene brahma hridaya adhikavaye mukhyandiyal suraya tejovarimrutam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrusha dhamna svena sada nirastha guhakam satyam param dhimahi. So Bhagavatam is nothing but satyam param dhimahi. That is the message in the Bhagavatam. And this is the verse which begins in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look at the very end of Bhagavatam, you will find another verse. Kasmayena vibhasito idamela jnana pradipa puna tadrubena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadrubina yogindraya tadalpanada bhagavadradaya karunya datta chuddham vishvalam vishokam amrutam satyam param dhimahi. So satyam param dhimahi, that is a message in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is only searching after the truth. Inquiring after the truth. What is the truth? This is what Bhagavatam is all about. So, this inquiring for truth is Brahmavalokadishanam, what we are talking about. So, when Brahmavalokadishanam increases in a person, the inquiry begins in a person at the same time. When there is no Brahmavalokadishanam, there will be no inquiry. That is the time when you walk through. You don't bother Bhagavatam class. What Bhagavatam they'll say? I'm going to the deity. I'll see the deity. Krishna allows everyone to come to the temple. Krishna doesn't allow everyone to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You can notice that. Krishna doesn't allow everyone to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But Krishna allows everyone to come to the temple. That is there. There is a difference in that. So, here, the important thing is that this animal propensity goes away from us. And Brahmavalokadishanam is building up inside. That is when we become more serious about Srimad Bhagavatam. That's when we become more serious about Srimad Bhagavatam. As much as the animal propensities goes away, say about, and it comes to 50% on either way, 50% human side, 50% animal side, that is when that they come and they will sit for 10 minutes or so. By then, the other side will start pulling and get up and walk out. They cannot sit more than that. 5 or 10 minutes you can give them for that. And when it gets worse, that the things get a little bit more better, that say about 20% animalism and 80% human nature, then they will come and sit inside. They'll come and sit inside. And at the same time, there will be sleep. The sleep won't go. Because sleep will be there at that time. Because it's not come out completely out of it. When it becomes 100% Brahmavalokadishanam, you won't be able to give up Srimad Bhagavatam. This is how it is. Brahmavalokadishanam udamava devaha. Vedavyasa Maharshi, in this one verse, he has put everything about us. The way it has to be spoken about is. So, what it means is, when Brahmavalokadishanam builds up inside, Krishna is also actually started working inside. This is what it means. That up to that point, the Krishna's part is not very active. that controlling nature, Ishwaratvam it's called, isn't it? Krishna is present inside each one of us. But that part of Krishna is not functioning well. So therefore, our mind, our senses, everything goes in a wrong direction. All the scientific discoveries is nothing but these siddhis only. Nothing but these siddhis only. Take for example anything. You see, we are thinking that modern science only is the first time that we have got these siddhis. No. Even if you go back, Ravana's time, Ravana had many siddhis. With the result, you know what he has done? Ravana called Varuna, who is controlling deity for the water. And he told Varuna, you should supply water in such and such a time, in such and such a place. He kept Varuna under his control. He kept the demigod air under his control. Ravana said to the air, under my rule, you'll make sure that everyone has a comfortable life with the air supply. There was no pollution in Ravana's time. No environmental problems. Ravana didn't have to deal with it because he caught hold of the predominating deity itself and insisted him. He could do that. Same thing with Varuna. Same thing with the Agni also, with the fire. He did exactly the same thing. That when he wanted, the fire should burn. That is how the Ravana's instructions were. So when he brought all these material energies under his control, that's why the demigod started feeling the difficulty. Are we not doing the same thing? What are we doing? Are we doing anything different? Only thing we couldn't do up to the level of Ravana has done. We are so helpless that we still want to control these things, isn't it? We want to control, we want to fly in the air, and we want to build dams and control the flow of water. And we are making ways and means how to control the rain and the floods, everything. We want to control all that. So this tendency in us, this tendency to control the siddhis is a symptom of this Krishna's power inside start developing in us. So science is not very much different than that. But the difficulty is this. If we develop this aspect of power in us, what will happen is, instead of being used by Krishna for spiritual life, we want to use Krishna for our enjoyment. It goes the other way. The result will be that we will get disturbed in our life. This is the basic fact behind it. That is why Shastra will always say that instead of using Krishna for our happiness in this world, we should be used by Krishna for Krishna's happiness, and then we will be happy, we will be peaceful within us. When we start using Krishna's energy to please ourselves, to make us happy in this world, and develop that controlling nature, what Krishna has, and we start developing that, we have to pay the price for it. This is why it is said like that. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayatma Shaktya Vrikshan Sarin Sribhapashun Khagadam Shamalsyan Taistaira Dushtakhdaya Purusham Vidhaya Brahma Valoga Dushanam Udamapadevaha. When we allow Krishna to use us for Krishna's happiness, that's bhakti. That's bhakti. When we are being used by Krishna for Krishna's happiness, that is bhakti. Today, we have misunderstood so many things about bhakti also. We are always thinking, oh, I am a big devotee, I am a bhakta. And I myself stand that I am a bhakta. But when it comes to serving Krishna, I am not interested. I want to see what I can do. So bhakti really means when I am this material body and my energy is used in Krishna's service, that is bhakti. On the other hand, when we start using Krishna's energy for our happiness in this world, that will end up in disaster at the end. That will end up in disaster at the end. And therefore, only when we can say that only at that point, when we have come to this situation where we are completely in Krishna's control, or using ourselves for Krishna's pleasure or Krishna's satisfaction, then we have come to the human platform. Only then we can be called as human beings. Brahmavalokadishanam. This is why that word is so important. Brahmavalokadishanam. Because only in this body this can be done. It cannot be done in any other body. Suppose you get a cat's body or a dog's body or a hog's body or any other body. This Brahmavalokadishanam will not happen. That is why when Lord Brahma, when created this human body, he felt an immense satisfaction from that. From that. Vedic philosophy is very scientific. It is not something which you can easily reject. Because of this point only, that many, many things you will find that when Krishna has created that, it has a purpose. If we go along with that purpose and act in that way, you will find that life becomes more pleasing and life, and the fulfillment of life happens then. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sukhridam sarvabhudanam yatvamam shanti mrachadi. Krishna has given the formula in the Bhagavad Gita that if you want to be peaceful in this world, Krishna says, bhoktaram yajna tapasam, that I am the bhokta. I have to be the enjoyer, not you. This is the point Krishna makes. I have to be the enjoyer, not you. Yajnam, tapasya, everything, sacrifices and austerities and everything has to be made to please me, for my pleasure. Sarvaloka maheshwaram, because it is me who has expanded in all these things. Isn't it? Krishna has expanded into this creation. Krishna has expanded into all of us. So everything as part and parcels of Krishna is Krishna's servant. Nobody can take that authority from Krishna and take it over to our control. Today what we are trying to do in this world, throughout the history you will find this, that we all want to take control of the situation. Krishna is saying no. If you want to have peace in this world, Krishna says shanti. Shanti is the goal. Peace in this life. Sukhritam sarvabhudanam. All living entities are, I am their friend. So pleasing me is the first thing, nothing else. That is the point Krishna makes there in the Bhagavad Gita. So, same thing here, that in order that, today we want all these opulences. Opulences means what? All these scientific discoveries and getting a pleasure out of that. Oh, now science is so advanced, we can control so much. What we are saying is that Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and all, they were also controlling like us. They also had this controlling nature. Eventually what happened? Hiranyakashipu had to leave. Ravana had to go. Nobody can live here. And they had to leave their body, and unfortunately Krishna had to kill them in that way. When it becomes unbearable with our scientific advancement, one day Krishna will also turn around and tell us, look, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Because these things, we forget the fact that Krishna is actually the proprietor of everything. Krishna is the controller as well. And when we ignore that and act independently, what comes out from that? We lose this capacity for Brahmavalokadrishanam. On the other hand, we become demoniac. We become demoniac. So that's why it says here that no matter whatever you do in life, there will be no peace. You can see that in Kali Yuga. All facilities are there, but there is no happiness. This is the beauty of Kali Yuga. All facilities are there, but there is no happiness. Specialities of Kali Yuga, I was reading somewhere, it is one of them, that you will find in Kali Yuga a lot of facilities. Lot of facilities, but no happiness. So, he says here that Brahmavalokadishanam udamapadevaham. Now, what is this Brahmavalokadishanam? Brahmavalokadishanam means all the Shastrams are helping us to develop this Brahmavalokadishanam. That's what Shastram does. Spiritual Master is also doing exactly the same thing to develop this Brahmavalokadishanam. Brahmavalokadishanam udamapa devaha. The happiness what Lord Brahma felt after he saw in the human body this tendency for the cultivation of that spiritual knowledge, Brahma was very pleased with that.
strictly speaking, studying of Shastram, association with devotees, attending in satsangam, and all these things, what actually it does? It does only one thing. It only kindles this Brahmavalokadarshanam inside. From the point of view of the Shastram, all of us have got it inside. It's not something which has to come from outside. But because that's why you will see in statement, Brahmavalokadarshanam and Krishna consciousness, they are two different words, that's all. In substance, it's one and the same. In substance, it's one and the same. In Bhagavadam, it is mentioned as Brahmavalokadarshanam. Prabhupada has given the English word as Krishna consciousness. But in essence, it is one and the same. So, Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, it is in everyone. It's already there. It's not something new, it has to come from outside. It's the very nature of the soul is to be Krishna conscious or Brahmavalokadarshanam. It's already there. But what has happened is that our attention has gone to the world outside. Our attention has gone to the world outside. That means through the senses, through the mind, it has gone to all the different objects in this world, and we are searching this happiness, what is present inside, in the presence of the soul. So, what does the Guru do, or what does the scriptures do? They divert your attention from the external world inwards towards that Brahmavalokadarshanam, or Krishna consciousness. That's what it is. That our attention is diverted from the external world where we were searching for happiness for many, many lifetimes, and even in this lifetime, eventually when it goes away from all and comes back to ourselves and see that Krishna is present within as well as Antaryami, who is present inside as the super soul, and we start looking for him, then you will see that Brahmavalokadarshanam is building up inside. Up to that point, Brahmavalokadarshanam won't happen. Brahmavalokadarshanam is such a thing that this inquiry has to change. So many lifetimes we have inquired outside, looking for happiness. And this looking for happiness is in everyone. In everyone. Somewhere you are experiencing that also. That is why you are sitting here. This inquiry, the desire to go for satsangam, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, where is this coming from? It's coming from inside. Brahmavalokadarshanam, that's what it is. That something is working in your head, telling you, there is some truth in the Bhagavatam. There is some reality in the soul. Otherwise, you couldn't sit and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not possible. Because from inside, the soul, present, Krishna is present there as Antaryami, is dictating to you that there is some truth in what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why you are able to sit and listen Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it's very easy to reject all these things, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying here that in this human body, if you are sitting in a satsangam or sitting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is thus, you don't have to give your senses, your mind, your intelligence. None of them will have any role to play in that. Inside, who is present, he will know what he is receiving. From inside, he will acknowledge that. He will acknowledge that. Because if it is not like that, you may artificially try to plug so many holes in so many ways. But what will happen is, you will get so much recognition in this world. Television people will come after you. Look, we want to take you into television programs. Show it to the whole world. All sorts of things will happen. But one thing you will be missing. What is that? That recognition from inside. That will not be there. Unless and until Antaryami inside, Krishna present inside, feels that fulfillment from Brahmavalokadarshanam, from Krishna consciousness, it is not going to satisfy you. Nobody will get satisfied through genuine satisfaction. Will not come. Externally, you can get so much recognition in this world. You can go attend courses, get certificates. You can get glorification from the newspaper, from the media, from the press. Television people will chase you for television programs. And you can do so many things there. But, in spite of all that, at the end,
inside, if your mind has not gone inwards and start looking for that truth, what is inside, which Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in so many places, you can see there, sarvasya chaham hrdi sannivishto mattas pradirjnanam apohanam cha vedescha sarveir ahameva vedyo vedanda krad veda videva chaham. What does he say? He says, sarvasya chaham hrdi sannivishto, I am present in everyone's heart. Everyone's heart, Krishna says. Why did he say that, stress that point? Because that is where we begin our real spiritual life. He is present inside, and recognizing that is the first step. Today, we are inquiring God, this temple, that temple, that place, this holy place, that holy place, searching everywhere. Where he is present inside, that search has stopped. So, but Shastras are not rejecting that. That's allowed. In the beginning, that is also necessary. The inquiry after all these temples and deities and everywhere will go looking for God, isn't it? That's where the state where we are all now at the moment. Looking to go into this temple, going to that temple, going to this holy place, that holy place. Everywhere we'll go searching for Him. But we'll forget the fact, sarvasya chaham hrdi sannivishto, Krishna is present there first before we start all this inquiry. So, but that is not rejected because at least the inquiry has started. That is the recognition. Shastram is saying, at least you have started the inquiry. Maybe you may continue in that, but throughout life you continue that inquiry, that's not going to ultimately help the situation. One day, someone who is little bit more, who may act as your guide in your spiritual path, one day he may give you a bang on your head and tell you to turn inwards. Till that point you will continue with this search outside. But the fact is, Ishwara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yandhra rudhani mayaya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in many, many places you will find that the first thing is, Krishna is present in every living entity. In the beginning, it is difficult to recognize that because we have no idea about the soul, isn't it? We have no idea what the soul is like, although we read theoretically so many things in the book. So therefore, we go to the temple, we see the deity, and we take the shelter of the devotees and the deity worship process and other associated processes. But if he stay in that process forever, thinking that this is, I've reached now perfection in spiritual life, some people get stuck like that. They won't go from there anymore. Just like, this is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is when you come understanding the soul, what is inside, what the soul is doing, and what's my connection with the soul, and eventually able to leave this bodily identity and come to that our true identity as spirit soul. Up to that point, this inquiry cannot stop. And in the Bhagavad Gita also, you will find the statement that in so many places that Krishna is talking about this, that if you look into Bhagavadam in the fifth canto, when Raghugana, if you know that story, Raghugana and Jadabharata story, it's a beautiful story in the Bhagavadam, important story also. What happened to Raghugana? Raghugana studied all the books. Raghugana did everything what he was told to do, but no realization at the end. So he was looking for a spiritual master, thinking that now let me approach a spiritual master to find out the truth. Why have I not got any realization? Raghugana was thinking like that. It was on the way he met Jadabharata, the Bharata Maharshi, later on a king who fell down, and by virtue of whose name we call it as Bharatavarsham, that king who fell down into the form of a deer and eventually got in the third birth, he got the form of this Brahmana, where he was very careful not to associate with anyone, having realized the folly what he has made in the previous births. You know that story in the Bhagavatam. So our Raghugana, what did he do? Raghugana went and caught hold of him and told him to carry his palanquin, not knowing who he is. He thought, he is someone in my kingdom, that means my subject, he should do what I tell him to do. So he carried his palanquin, and as you know, that palanquin was not moving properly because this one person, four people were carrying it, all the other three were going very fast. This one, or Jadabharata, he was very not very cooperative in that sense. That he was put, they put it on his shoulder, he carried it. He was thinking, I'm not carrying, the body is carrying, what do I have to do with it? This is the state of realization he was. We may think, how is that possible? That happens in spiritual life with all these great souls. This is why Bhagavatam is teaching us. Bhagavatam is telling that when Jadabharata, when they put this bar of this palanquin on his shoulder, he didn't protest against it. They told him, walk now. He started walking at his own pace. So palanquin was started moving. Now the king opens the door and asks his servants, what's wrong with the palanquin? They say to him that we three are doing the job properly. This one man who has joined, he is not cooperating. Rahugana shouted at him, very, very abusive words, talking to Jadabharata like that. At that time, Jadabharata thought, should I talk to this man or not? You see how kind realized souls are. This person has studied everything. Just by looking at him, Jadabharata understood. He has studied all the books. He has understood everything. But nothing has been realized. So he says to Jadabharata, says to him, that to the king Rahugana at that time, Rahuganaina tapasanayadi na chejaya narvapanal grihadvam na chandasa naiva jala agni suryor vinamahalpada rajobhishekam. During the conversation, our Rahugana says to this Brahmana, Jadabharata, that looking at you, I think that you are not an ordinary person. That much intelligence he had, Rahugana had. At least by seeing, he was able to sense that this person is not an ordinary person. While looked at him, a dirty cloth, a second cloth on his shoulder, and a dirty dhoti he was wearing. The beard, everything has grown, hair has grown. No marks of anything. But a Brahma Tejas, a kind of a effulgence on his face, from a austerities and penances on his face. Also he saw the thread on his shoulder. So he said to him, and which was very dirty, the thread was very dirty. He says to him, that by seeing you look like a Brahmana, and a Brahma Tejas, or the Brahmana effulgence is on your face, please tell me who you are. Please tell me who you are. Are you the same spiritual master I am going looking for? Kapila Maharshi, he was thinking. He was looking to Kapilashramam, he was going to. Are you Kapila Maharshi from Kapilashramam? Have I misunderstood? Please reveal your true identity. This is how Rahugana prayed to Jadabharata. At that time, Jadabharata says to him, Rahuganai tavasamayadi na chejaya nirvapanat ghadva na chandasa naiva jala agni suryor vina mahalpadam rajobhishegam. This was the reply. What does it mean? My dear Rahugana, self-realization won't come by your smartness. You can be very smart. You may be a king, you may be this, that, and but self-realization won't come. Why? By performing a lot of austerities also, you won't become self-realized. Not by performing a lot of sacrifices. And nirvamanat grihadva. Even if you give up your home, family, everything, take to sannyasam, there is no guarantee you will be self-realized. There is no guarantee. Na chandasa. By studying all the Vedas, and reciting them. Chandasa means the Vedas. And reciting the Vedas, you are not going to get self-realized. Naiva jalam agni suryam. Even if you perform austerities in the water, in the fire, in the sun, it is not going to happen. Then how? Vina mahalpadam rajobhishegam. Only if you serve a devotee and get his mercy. And the way put it in the Bhagavatam is, you take the dust from his feet and put it on your head, only then you can get this realization, what you are looking for. said our Jadabharata. Now in Bhagavadam, when you read that verse, Vinamahalpada Rajobhishekam means what? Literal meaning of that word is, take the dust from somebody's feet, or this Mahalpada means a great soul, his feet. So I came out of the room, I saw somebody there. Oh, he's a great soul. I told him, stand there for a minute, he said. Let me get some dust. I went outside, brought some dust, put it on, sprinkled on his feet. Here is 10 pounds, dakshina for you. I took that dust and put it on my head. Is that what it meant? If you read the verse, that's what it meant, isn't it? Vinamahal padarajo vishegam. This is, the sages have a way of saying things. And if we had been put in that situation, what we would have done? We would have collected some dust from some gurus or sannyasis, packed them nicely, put it on the self for sale. So gross is our head, the way it works. There's opportunity to make some money there also. So this is how Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, so many things is spoken in a very subtle level. So he's saying to Rahugana, Rahugana has been told by Jadabharata, that Rahuganaina eda tavasanayadi na chejeya nirvavanal grahadva na chandasa deiva jalagni suryo vina mahalpada rajobhishekam. What it means is that unless we please a great devotee or a jnani or a person who is realized, self-realized, only through his mercy you can achieve this. Only through his mercy you can achieve this. Otherwise it is not possible. This was the words from Jadabharata to Rahugana. To give you an example, history, Ramanujacharya, you heard about Ramanujacharya, a great Vaishnava Acharya. Ramanujacharya was living at Srirangam at that time, and Ramanujacharya used to worship the deity Ranganatha in Srirangam temple. Those who had been there, they know how Srirangam temple is today. But in Ramanuja's time, it was a place where the Vedas were chanted regularly and many highly qualified personalities came and worshipped Krishna in Ramachandra there, in Srirangam. So our Ramanujacharya, once a great devotee, highly learned and absorbed in the worship of the deity there. Once it so happened that a Brahmana who was very studied Vedas very well and was a devotee, he came to Ramanujacharya and told Ramanujacharya like this. He said, I want to do something to please you. In other words, they call it Kaingaryam. Kaingaryam means I am just like your servant. I want to do some service for you to please you. Ramanujacharya looked at him for a minute and told him, that's very nice of you to think like that, to do some service. But he said to him that service means what? He said, service means that you should do something what I want you to do, which will please me, and you do it properly, then that will please me. Then that is proper service, he said. Brahmana said, yes, I agree with that, he said. Okay, I have a request to you. This Brahmana has come to Ramanujacharya in the mood accepting Ramanujacharya had as his spiritual master. Ramanujacharya had many disciples at that time. He was very well known. Vishishtadvaita philosophy had come from him. He also wrote in the Vedic tradition, he is one of the highly established Acharya who had commented on Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Deshopanishads and Brahma Sutra. And very exalted personality. So many devotees refer to him as Lord Balaram. So Ramanujacharya, he has approached, this Brahmana has approached Ramanujacharya in a very reverential mood accepting him, Ramanujacharya, as his spiritual master in his mind. So Ramanujacharya tells him that the proper service mood is whatever you do, it should please me. If you are prepared for that, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He said. Brahmana said, fine. Whatever you may tell me to do, I'll do that. Fine. He said, for a long time I have been thinking, I want to wash the feet of a Brahmana, learned Brahmana, and drink that water. And after that, I want to do the deity worship every day in the morning. Are you agree? That means the Brahmana has to come and sit there. Ramanujacharya will wash his feet and take that water and drink that and give it to everybody else to drink. The washed water from the feet. If you are agreeable for that, he said. Brahmana said, yes. Can you imagine? Suppose if we were there, what we would say? Oh, that cannot be done. That's not possible. So, from next day onwards, the Brahmana will come in the morning, exactly at the time specified, will sit there. Ramanujacharya will wash his feet, take the water and sip it, and then give it to others as well, and then he'll start his deity worship in Srirangam. This carried on for quite some time. One day, it so happened that some of the devotees who were very closely connected with Ramanujacharya invited him to go with them for some program somewhere. And in that process, Ramanuja could not do the deity worship at Srirangam. He went away with those devotees, and by the time he came back, it was very late in the afternoon when the program was finished. He totally forgot about this whole thing, particularly about this Brahmana's coming and all that. He thought probably Brahmana would have gone back. When he came home, Ramanujacharya came home, the Brahmana was standing outside the door. So Ramanuja asked him, have you had prasadam? He said, no. Why? Because I have not done my service to the spiritual master, the Brahmana says. Brahmana is saying to Ramanuja that I have not done my service to the spiritual master, how can I take my food? This was the answer. Ramanujacharya at that time said, this is bhakti. This is called bhakti. In other words, pure dasya bhakti. Dasya bhakti. Ramanujacharya exhibited through this pastime that kaingaryam or service means to please what the spiritual master wants you to do. That is the service. Not what we like to do. Otherwise there is no service in there. What the spiritual master wants you to do, that should be done. And that is service. So, here, you will see here, that the Dasya Bhakti's finest example, that is, when one surrenders, Brahmavaloka Dishanam, when it increases in a person, his mind develops in such a way, that only in that realized state, you can act in that way. Otherwise, it's very difficult also. That your spiritual realization gets stronger, with the result will be that your spiritual activities also will go in the right direction. This is a symptom of that. Spiritual activities are not judged based on your intelligence. You cannot do your spiritual activities based on intelligence. You have to make the decisions based on your spiritual realizations. That is how these decisions are. Decisions happen. At that point, nothing can come. Everything what you do in your spiritual life will go in the right direction. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamapadevaha. That Brahmavaloka Dishanam, the direction in which we start looking for. Because even this Brahmavaloka Dishanam is in everybody. I have mentioned that before. Or Krishna consciousness is in everyone. Because it is there, that is why, as much as you are getting closer to the truth, your realizations will also get stronger. As much as you are getting closer to the truth, your realizations will also get stronger. According to the level of realization, these things will change in our own. This is how realizations come to us. Realizations won't come to us by studying books. Realization won't come to us by the by performing a lot of austerities. No. Vina mahalpada rajobhishekam. Purely by pleasing Ramanujacharya, that person, the Brahmana, had the realization what he wanted. He got it without any difficulty. And it is true for him and it is true for everybody in spiritual life. It is true for everybody in spiritual life. That is why it is said that spiritual realizations, when we discuss this here, that Brahmavaloka Dishanam, because it is inside, the duty of the Shastram, the duty of the spiritual master is only to kindle it, to wake up that thing inside. And once it's woken up, it will do its duty on its own. As I mentioned, satsangam, association with devotees, association with Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what it does. It does only this one thing, that what is already inside in a person, it gives ignite that fire inside. And you can yourself judge your own spiritual life from the viewpoint that as much as your taste for Srimad Bhagavatam is increasing, as much as you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, it means only one thing, that you are getting closer to the truth. Closer to the truth. You may be far away still, but you are moving towards the truth. That is the proof of that. Only because somewhere inside, somebody is telling you that there is some truth in the Bhagavatam. Otherwise you couldn't sit and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. There is much more nicer things in this world to sit and listen to. But why you are able to sit and listen? It's because of this one thing, Brahmavaloka Dishanam. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamava Devaha. Krishna felt happy, Brahma felt happy. Why? Because Krishna realized that in this body, if properly utilized it, he can make it in this body of getting out of this cycle of birth and death. That is the beauty of human body. So, because of that, in the next verse, you will see Krishna glorifying our body to the highest extent. Ladhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavandi manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadiraham. Ladhva sudurlabhamidam. Krishna says, I have given this most rare thing to him. What's that? Human body. Ladhva sudurlabhamidam. And he has given, I've given it to him, bahu sambhavande. He had been going through different species for so many lifetimes, millions of lifetimes he had gone through. Why do we glorify Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna and all that? They were standing much more closer to the truth than us. Compared to us, they were closer. We are thinking that they are all demons and they are... We are compared to them, we are far better, aren't we? That's what we think about ourselves. Is it not? We think, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayanam and all that, Bhagavatam, you think that, oh, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, such big demons, Kamsa. No. We are worse than them. Because they are much more closer to the truth. In three lifetimes they managed to pull it off. And we? Labdhva sudurlabhamidam. Bahu sambhavande means millions of lifetimes it has gone. This business of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, we have done. And have we done anything, got anything out of it? No. We got back another body again. Manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha. That important thing in this body is, human body, arthadam, it can give you the result what you want. Anityam, but it has got one problem. Anityam, it is temporary. But one who is using it for the right purpose, Krishna says, dhiraha. He is dhira. He is intelligent. And he is endeavoring in that direction very intensely. That's what pleases Krishna. When one is trying to advance spiritually, utilizing his human body to get the maximum out of it, that pleases Krishna. Krishna is not called somebody dhira who has climbed the Everest. Or Krishna doesn't call someone who has won 18 gold medals in the Olympics in Beijing or something like that. That in Krishna's calculations, all these things are useless. Krishna considered someone, abhiha dhiraha, who is dhira, labdhu asu durlabham idam, bahu sambhavande manushyam, arthadam anityam, abhiha dhiraha. I gave him this temporary material body, human body. He is utilizing it to his best capacity to get out of this cycle of birth and death. He is dhira. Turnam padeyade anumurtiyaval nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvatasyal. Turnam padel. One day it will drop. What? This human body will drop off. Nobody can do anything about it. Nobody can do about anything about it. Before you know, you don't know when this can drop. You also don't know when it can collapse. Any time it can take its toll. So, turnam padeyade anumurtiyaval. But while it is capable of doing something, if somebody has utilized it for the right purpose, Krishna calls him as intelligent. Nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvatasyal. Krishna gives a lot of credit to such a person who did not use the body for sense gratification, rather for self-realization. Krishna considers that as the success of life. So you can see, Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktya Vrchan Sarin Sripapashun Khakadam Shamalsyan Taisaira Dushta Hridaya Purusham Vidhaya Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamapadevaham Labdhu Asudurlabhamidam Bahusambhavande Manushyamarthadam Anityam Abhihadiraham Turnam Ede Padetnam Animurtiyaval Nishrayasaya Vishaya Khalu Sarvatasyal. So these are the conclusions of our Dattatreya Maharshi. And these are words through Dattatreya Maharshi Krishna has spoken. That's all it is. Everything in the Bhagavatam is like that. Through Prahlada, Krishna is speaking. Through Parikshit, Krishna is speaking. Through Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna is speaking. Through Vritrasura, Krishna is speaking. Through Yudhishthira, Krishna is speaking. They are all speaking. Who is speaking? Krishna is speaking through all of them. And for whom? For us. So that we understand what is spiritual science, what is spirituality, what is Krishna consciousness. This is the only reason in Srimad Bhagavatam, as it called the commentary on the Brahma Sutram, that Mahaprabhu calls it as commentary on Brahma Sutram, Vashyam Brahma Sutranam. So in this Srimad Bhagavatam, all the devotees, they come one after the other. And they tell us what they have to say about their realization. About their realization. So our paths get clearer and easier. If not, if there is no guide to tell us which direction to go, what will happen? We will make our own mental concoctions. Isn't it? That's a natural thing. We will make this, that and the other, so many different things as the rules. But there is no need to get confused about anything. There is no need to get diverted to anything, so long as Srimad Bhagavatam guides one's spiritual life. Everything what is required for spiritual life is there. Just to give you an example, in the Mahabharatam and in the Bhagavatam, you will see Krishna's different pastimes mentioned there. Krishna has set it up for us, for our benefit, everything very effectively, so that we may take advantage of it. He gave us Varnashrama Dharmam for this benefit. And he told us also, if it's not followed properly, what will happen? That's also there. Take for example, in the Mahabharatam and in the Bhagavatam, Krishna glorifies Brahminical qualities, isn't it? Brahminical qualities are glorified. We also say, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hidayaja. For Brahmanas and cows, Krishna is very dear, isn't it? Now, who is this Brahmana Krishna is talking about? Is that everyone who has got a thread around? Is that the type of... that they are all dearer to me. Has Krishna said that? No. You take it from Krishna alone, what Krishna means by that. In the Mahabharatam, you know this personality, Drona. Drona was there he was born as a Brahmana. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a personality, Sudama. Compare these two personalities, two Brahmanas, and see how Krishna reacted to each one of them. I'll go through Mahabharatam story in a very nutshell, because you all know the story already. That Drona had a close friend in his childhood called Dhruvada. Dhruvada and Drona were close friends. So Dhruvada happened to be the prince and was going to become the king eventually. And in one instance, when they were friends, Dhruvada promised Drona that when I become the king, I will hand over you half of the kingdom out of good friendship. He said to Drona. Drona took it, and after many years, Dhruvada became the king. Drona, meanwhile, wandered around all over without any proper engagement. And remembering this statement from his friend Dhruvada, he went back to Dhruvada asking him, where is that half the kingdom you promised me that you will give it? Dhruvada has completely forgotten that. Forgotten in the sense, conveniently forgotten. He told Drona that, I don't know what I have said that, but I can't deal with you now. You are such a poor person. I am a king here. And he completely rejected Drona. Drona got very upset. Then you know the story in Mahabharatam. He goes to looking for engagement. He wanted to take revenge on Drupada. That's how he got into the service of the Pandavas, isn't it? And the Kauravas. And he started teaching them archery. Eventually he developed the Pandavas nicely, especially Arjuna. And he found that he can use Arjuna against Drupada. So, Arjuna was used by Drupada to fight with Drupada, and eventually Arjuna ties him down and brings him to in front of Drona. So what happened now? Drona is a Brahmana. Remember that. A Brahmana under no circumstances can develop a revengeful mood. This is Krishna's rule. And Krishna didn't like it, what Drona has done. That going to Pandavas, teaching them how to in archery, dhanurvidya, as it's called, those things were acceptable to Krishna. He did not object to that. But when he saw that Drona has overstepped that position as a Brahmana and took to this attitude of a Kshatriya, of becoming revengeful, he has lost his Brahminical quality. There, Mahabharatam says, when a Brahmana is not acting like a Brahmana, he is not a Brahmana anymore. He is finished. He is like anybody else. So, Brahmana's this greatest quality, that to able to tolerate, not feeling revengeful under any circumstances. That's what is expected from a Brahmana. So, our Drona had to pay a heavy price for this. Not only that, Arjuna did this to Dhruvada. Later on, Krishna arranged things in such a way, Dhruvada performed the sacrifice. From sacrifice, Drishtadyumna and Draupadi came up. And this very Arjuna, who did this to Dhruvada before, got married to Draupadi. And Arjuna had to change the side from Drona's side to Dhruvada's side. And Dhruvada, who knew very well that he was tied down by Arjuna earlier, has now seen that he could use the son born from the sacrifice, Drishtadyumna, to kill Drona. Krishna gave all support to Dhruvada in doing that. Why? Krishna was not pleased with Drona. Drona realized it much later, at the end of Mahabharata, in Drona Parvam, if you read, you will see there, that as a Brahmana, he had to eat the food from the Kauravas, particularly Duryodhana's food, which is not very pleasant to eat. And he had to accept that food and fight for Duryodhana. And that was not at all pleasing to Drona. Just because as a Brahmana, that revenge has taken birth in his mind, which was not allowed. Why do Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam, Ramayanam and all give so respect to the Brahminical culture? Because these qualities, what the Brahmanas are supposed to uphold, that should be upheld. If it is not there, simply becomes a business to put the thread on and collect the dakshina, then that has to be rejected. That is the way it is. On the other hand, you take the other personality, Sudama. Look at Sudama. Guror anugrahe neiva puman purna prashandaye. Doesn't want anything in this world. Krishna is offering, take it, take it. Sudama says, no, I am happy what I am. Even Krishna was shocked seeing that detachment and renunciation in Sudama. So you can see Krishna respects and glorifies Brahmana for this reason. When he sees those qualities, Brahminical qualities in a person, proper qualities in a person, it is the qualities that Krishna is looking for. And that is what makes Srimad Bhagavatam to telling us repeatedly, Brahmavalokadishanam udamapadevaha. Brahmavalokadishanam, when it builds up in a person, these qualities also simultaneously builds up in that. We will stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.